You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
If you have a Bible, join me in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. As you think of our family is in the midst of going through Christmas movies, and there are those ones if you watch White Christmas in June, it would just feel weird, right? You know, so we're watching those things now, and it's fun because like Evelyn, who still has some movies that she hasn't seen, so we're getting to experience those. But there's one that's actually not really in our normal routine of movies, but it's actually one that I think has the most significant theological moment out of all the Christmas movies. And this, of course, is Peanuts' Christmas Story. Charlie Brown. What did I say? Charlie Brown's Christmas Story. And how many of you guys have seen that? You guys seen that one? There's a moment in it, right, where the characters are all kind of wrestling with the image of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? Is it the play? Is it the pageantry? Is it the Christmas tree? Is it the presents? Is it the lights? Is it the everything else? Yep. That's right. Christmas is about Jesus' birth. You are absolutely right, Madalena. And there comes a point in time in the movie where everybody's kind of crazy about that, one character, a side character, right, steps forward and brings forth the absolute profound nature of it. And it's Linus. You remember Linus? He's the character that always has his security blanket. He never goes anywhere without his blanket. Every cartoon that he's in, every comic strip that he's in, Linus has his security blanket. And they even poke fun at different points in time because he's terrified without it. It is his lifeline for safety and security. And it's Linus that steps up and says, "This is what the story is all about. This is what the hope of Christmas is." And he begins to quote Luke 2. And the theological moment that I think is so profound is there's a moment of which Linus gets to the part where the angels appear to the shepherds. And what's the first words out of the shepherd or out of the angel's mouth? Fear not. And at that moment, Linus drops his blanket. And he continues on without fear. And it's an incredible moment to think about the reality in cartoon form of what the Christmas story means. Preaching the Christmas story for me is always a challenge because it's the same story every year at the same time. And so there's this pressure that I always feel, and I know it's a pressure that I feel because I put it on me, that I have to somehow make it fresh or new or a new angle or a new bend or something that's there. And as I was kind of wrestling with that this week, Shell, lovingly as my wife does, just said, "Don't make it complicated. The Christmas story isn't complicated." Unless you try to memorize the Christmas story in a different translation than you have already memorized it in. We as a family have, in past time, we memorized a chunk of Luke 2, and we memorized it in the NIV, the New International Version. This year, Shell decided we ought to memorize the whole chapter, and we ought to do it in ESV, because that's what I tend to preach from and study from. The challenge with that is that if the ESV Bible was a Star Wars character, it would be Yoda, because of the way that the structure of things are. But I'm going to, as best as I can, get at least as far as we have memorized with that in telling the simplicity of the story. And then we're going to walk through just some of the realities that we, especially now, and where we find ourselves, where maybe we find ourselves like Linus, holding on to something that we are clinging to as our safety, as our security, as our hope, that maybe as we hear it fresh again, the simplicity of the Christmas story, that maybe we might be willing to let go of that thing which cannot give us ultimate safety. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in that same region there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And this is where the great debate becomes in for our family. Because the NIV says, and they were terrified. And the ESV says, and they were filled with great fear. We kind of like the NIV version of that one better. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a heavenly host, glorifying God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace for those with whom He is pleased. As we think about the simplicity of the Christmas story, it's one that we've heard 1,000 times, maybe more than 1,000 times, several thousand times. It's one that we have etched into our minds. And of course, it's so etched into our minds that we have images of it that actually aren't in the scriptures, right? We have images of Mary and Joseph, and of course Mary's on top of a donkey as they by themselves are walking in the dead of night, knocking on doors, please, please, would you let us in? And you know, the whole while that Joseph's knocking, of course, it's in that moment that Mary's having contractions, right? While she's on the donkey. Like, that's the image that we have. And of course, neglecting the fact that this is a census of the Roman world. And if you were required to go back to the place of your birth, that probably means that Mary and Joseph had quite a bit of family that were there in Bethlehem. That's why the place was full. All their everybody was back for Christmas. They just didn't know it yet. They were all packed in. And of course, we have the image of whether or not it was an inn as we think of it, like a Motel 6, or whether the inn was the word for inn is the exact same word that is used in the Last Supper for the upper room, the guest room. In other words, the normal places that people would sleep were full. And so Mary and Joseph and probably several other people ended up either in an inner courtyard, or maybe a shed out back, or maybe an actual cave that was dug into a hill where livestock would have been kept. And it was in that place, at some point in time, after they had gotten there, that Mary went into labor and delivered Jesus into the world. Now, for those that have actually been involved in the birthing process of a child, there's lots of energy, lots of flurry. It's kind of crazy and chaotic. It's not clean. It's not. It's definitely not a sterile environment. And you can just imagine this young girl, probably we estimate Mary's age to be somewhere around the age of 15 to 18 when she gave birth to Jesus. Then here she is in this place, surrounded by lots of people, probably not lots of privacy, and she gives birth to the one who formed the universe by the word of his mouth. And at this moment, he's covered in amniotic fluid and the white substance that protects from infection, and he's cold and he's crying, and it's kind of chaotic. It's such a surreal thing to actually think about the reality of what that looked like, what it meant, and yet, you know, babies are born all over the place. It just slipped in. There was no, in that moment, right there in that place, there wasn't a flash of light. The angels didn't show up there. It was just a baby comes into the world like every other baby comes into the world. It's such a profound thing when we just think about the nature that God came to earth and touched earth with a unique human fingerprint. And he slipped into this world in the same way that every other human being slips into this world. Cold, crying, and hungry. But of course, this was the Son of God. This was God in the flesh. And so heaven couldn't keep quiet about that. And so what do? They go and find the most important people. The highest, the most wealthy, the most influential, the most holy, the most righteous, and they go tell them that Jesus is on the earth. No, they actually find the social outcasts of society. You know, it's interesting, as much as lamb wool and sheep meat was important for Jewish society and essential for the actual use in the temple, to be a shepherd, you could not be religiously clean. You were perpetually not ceremonially clean for Jewish worship in their present day structure. The Pharisees would never let shepherds participate in the Jewish festivals or religious ceremonies because they were ceremonially unclean continually because of the way they had to live to take care of their sheep. So they just kind of lived out by themselves, taking care of the sheep, doing what they needed to do, literally sleeping out in the fields as they kept watch over their flocks at night. And you can imagine, if you've done camping or anything like that, it's the middle of the night and you're sitting there watching your sheep, and it's all quiet, and all of a sudden blinding light comes. And that's literally what it says. The Shekinah glory of God, the same kind of glory that every other place has said, when they saw it, they thought they were going to die. That appears, and an angel of the Lord steps out. And now we can understand why the angels go, "Oh no," and were filled with great fear or terrified. Because they think, this is it. I'm done. I'm toast. And as the angel appears to them, the angel makes a profound statement. "Fear not," which is what the angels always said. But the angel says this: "I bring you gospel. I bring you good news." The evangelos, the good news of God that has been for all time, I'm bringing it to you, shepherds. Now it's interesting that as the shepherds were ceremonially unclean in their own day, of course, if we read the Old Testament, we know that God has a specific picture in mind of shepherds. He had David, who was a shepherd, who became a king, and he describes the religious leaders as shepherds. In fact, we still use that terminology today for me. A pastor, to be pastoral, is to be a shepherd, one who tends the flock, if you will. And this good news message was being declared to those who represented all of the people of God who would care for the people of God. It was their first declaration, the first message of hope. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. When we think of Christmas, and when we think of the gospel, our first thought should be for all people. And it should be for all people because in the present day that we live, we don't actually practice that. It's not true in the world today. There are still people on this planet that nobody has showed up at and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for you." Whatever it is that you're clinging to, whatever it is that you're embracing, whatever it is that you are hoping in, that you believe will find you joy and satisfaction and safety, whatever it is that you are embracing in that, it's not going to do it. Embrace the good news that is being given to you today. He says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And what is that good news? What is the gospel? Well, Maddalena had it right. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And the angel makes a declaration about Jesus. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The Messiah, who is the anointed one of God, and actually is God. The word that is used there for Lord is the same word, the same Greek word that is used to translate the name of God. The angel says, God is with you. If anybody ever asks the question, what is the gospel? The very simplest answer that we can give them is, God is the gospel. God is the gospel. The good news is not that we don't have to go to hell. The good news is not that we get to go to heaven. The good news is not even that we have our sins forgiven. The good news is that we get God and everything that that entails. All of the reality of that, all the fullness of God, we get in the gospel. And this is the good news of great joy. But two words make the distinction between this being good news for all the people and good news for, as the multitude of angels said, peace for those with whom He is pleased. And those two words are unto you. Unto you. You see, this story is so profound because it could have happened anywhere. There was nothing special about these shepherds. They were just the shepherds that were in the region. They would then turn around and go and say, "Let's go see about this thing that the Lord has told us about." And then when they went and they found the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in the manger, they made known to everybody the saying which had been told about this child. They testified about this truth. They responded to it because they understood that the message wasn't just a general message, that the message was to them. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The reason that this is good news for you, the reason that God's peace rests on you, if in fact it does this morning, is that by the grace of God, you have come alive to the reality that unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We can think about the birth of Jesus in generic terms. Yes, Jesus came to save the world. Yes, Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. Yes, Jesus came to do all of these incredible things for all the peoples. But it is unto you that this is either good news or indifferent news. This morning, you can wake up and believe that Christmas happened, but doesn't really have any significance to you. Because in that sense, you just think that Jesus came into this world to do things, set an example, live a good life, let us be moral. Or you can deny the fact that He came at all. And in this reality, it is not unto you. Or you can, by the grace of God, see the reality that the message of the angel could have happened, if you had lived in that moment, it could have happened to you. That all of a sudden the heavens split open, and there stands the angel looking at you and saying, unto you is born this day a Savior, your Savior, Christ, God in flesh, for you. The reality of the gospel for us is that we continually find our greatest joy and greatest satisfaction in the reality that God came for us. It should never lose its wonder to us. And if it does begin to dull to that, that's when we pray as David did, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I bring you good news of great joy. Filled with joy, we exclaim with the angels, glory to God in the highest. We join that song. We embrace that. And then we take up the mantle that the angel had. We go to others. And we say, I bring you good news of great joy. Because unto you, regardless of what your life looked like, regardless of what the brokenness looked like, I'm so grateful for Doug's testimony this morning of his dad. Regardless of how broken a relationship looked like, because of forgiveness, no matter how broken a life looks like, because of how God can restore a life and take that which was broken and marred and by the world standards unfixable, it is good news of great joy because unto you a Savior has been born. The message of Christmas is very simple. That God became man. He took on flesh. He felt pain. He grew. He had acne. He worked. He lived. And he died. Why? So that the glory of God would truly be made known in our hearts. That the reality of our rebellion, the reality of our hatred of God, the reality of our brokenness could be revealed to us and reconciled between us and our Heavenly Father. And God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The shadow of the cross was even on this moment. It was never out of the mind of God. It's one of those things of You know, you hold a newborn baby, and you think about all of the life ahead of them. Right? Because you think of your own life and all the experiences, the joys and the heartaches and the sorrows and the loss and the celebrations and the victories. And you go, you're going to have all of those, right? But the challenge for us is we hold our baby and we have no idea what life looks like. We know what we want life to look like for them, but we don't know what life looks like for them. And God sees His Son on Christmas night. And He knows that the cross is there. He knows that the pain. He sees Gethsemane where Jesus cries, God, if there's any other way. It's all in that moment. And that glorious truth is what is tied up in the fact that He is the Savior born unto you. And this morning we can take the greatest gift of Christmas, Jesus, and treat it as though it's a white elephant gift. I'll trade it for something else. Oh yeah, that's cool. Jesus, yeah, whatever, fun. No, I want this. I'll trade that. And we take the most precious treasure. We try to hold on to a security blanket. And the message of the angel is the same to us. Don't be afraid to let go. Don't be afraid of this moment. Because good news of great joy is not only for all the people. Today, it's for you. Expressly and specifically for you. It is for you in the moment that you are in. It is for you in your present fear. It is for you in your present sin. It is for you in your present broken relationships. This Savior is for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christmas is a simple story. It's a simple message, but it is one that is eternally important for us. And so as we think of this simple Christmas story, can we be reminded of this truth that God loves you and He sent His Son for you. Yes, for all the peoples. Yes, for the people on the other side of the planet. But this morning, God sent His Son for you. And if you believe that, and if you cherish that, there is nothing else in this world that satisfies or compares to that. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace for those with whom He is pleased. Let's pray. God, we do thank You that Your Word is true and right, surgical to the point that unto us, me, a child has been born, who is Savior, Christ and God. And so God, this morning, would You help us to be rekindled afresh the good news of great joy for us. God, would You give us opportunity this week as so many find themselves living in fear to share the hope of Jesus, to tell somebody that unto them is born a Savior. God, we thank You so much for Christmas, the true gift that it is. We love You. It's your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.